start. Praise God. Yeah, so today we are going to carry on with the study that we've been doing, and this we've been looking at the book of Acts, and we're in chapter 5. And what we've been learning, and the main theme that God has been helping us to understand is the aspect of being a witness for Christ. And the book of Acts, as we've been learning, is really a witness, a book of the witness of the resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what we've been saying and what we've been learning is that the reality, even today, it's that Jesus is on trial. And the question is he God? And the question also is, did he really resurrect? And so what we see is that the book of Acts brings together the witness of two agents. One is a human witness, which is the witness of the disciples, the witness of the apostles, sorry. And then secondly, it brings in the witness of the Holy Spirit. The witness of the Holy Spirit is that he witnesses and he signifies and he shows that Jesus is alive by proving and confirming his word by signs and wonders. So all the miracles that we see, every miracle that is done in the name of Jesus, that is done through the power of the Holy Spirit, comes as a witness that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And this is why we see that the disciples were powerfully witnessing to the word, powerful witnessing to the death and resurrection of Jesus. And at each and every point, whenever they will do a miracle, they will say, this crippled man has been raised in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified. So you will see it's a common theme that anytime they speak, whether it is Stephen, whether it is Peter, they will just say clearly that this, even Paul himself, he said, no, we are just mere men. This, whatever we are doing, is not of our own effort. It has not been done by our own power, because everyone will ask, by what power have you raised this person? How do you made this crippled man well? In whose name? And they will never hesitate to say that it has been done in the name of Jesus Christ. And you see, that's really something that we see, a constant theme, and it is something that even today we must pay witness to, that God has called us to be witnesses. Now, a witness is someone who stands in the court, because as you said, in the world, Jesus is on trial. I mean, when you tell someone, when someone asks you what religion you are, and you say you're a Christian, you're basically saying that you're believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That means that you're telling that person that he might have heard about Jesus, he might have heard that, oh, the Christians say that Jesus died, and resurrected, is alive. So you're saying that you're among the people on the earth that believe that he is alive. And then what also happens is that apart from you, your human witness that comes forth, also the Holy Spirit is given to you to be a witness, to confirm with signs, miracles, and wonders, to confirm with you, with everything that God will give you, because God gives us unique giftings. God gives us unique places that we can work in. God gives us opportunities to meet men and women in different places in the world. It could be on a plane, it could be in the office, it could be students, it could be people that we serve, but we are given a chance to witness. Now, the witness that we give might be not as we expect, you know, different based on the country that you're in. There are countries where you will have free joy to share, to preach, but there are places where you might never have that witness. But your presence there, the way you deal with them, the love that you share, each of them is being given a chance to know who is a Christian. And what I was sharing with a brother yesterday is that they are watching. Everyone around us is watching, whether your family members, whether your neighbors, whether the watchmen, whether your workmates, they are watching. And then when you go wrong, what do they say? Look at your Christians. Huh? And I was listening to one, I remember one of the books I was reading, and there's one of these teachers who's been really teaching about marketplace ministry. And he was giving a testimony where he was in this company, and he was one of the senior people, and they were doing a recruitment. And so there was one of this person who came in, and he said he was a Christian, and he said he was born again. And so as in during the interview, so they had a responsibility to ask them to determine whether these people were ethically sound. So they asked the question, okay, welcome to the organization. We are very happy that you've joined us, or that you're willing to join us. And the question is this: your boss has been doing some wrong things in the past, that we've been filing some tax returns and we made a mistake, and we need you to continue in that way, because if you don't do it, the organization will lose 1 million, and so we need you to be doing that. And the person said, well, I will not do it. It's according to my faith. I will not do it because it's not right. Okay, then said, okay, then we'll not give you the job. Do you want the job? And then the person said, well, okay, I really need the job. But if this is how the organization has been running, okay, I will do it. Are you sure? Yes, I will do it. I will do it. I will do whatever. I can change. I can do this. Then they said, okay, thank you. So they finished the interview, and then when he left, and immediately he left, all the other board members, they were actually non-Christians, they burst out laughing, and they turned to him and say, see, you're Christians, you know, because the organization is not that they were not doing unethical things, but they wanted to see the ethics. Now, that person at that point failed to be a witness of the gospel, because they were looking to confirm, if you're sure you're really a Christian, if you're sure you're really believing, how are you a witness even where you work, even in the marketplace? And likewise also, in yes, that man, he says that he was very disappointed, but the people in the board, in as much as they were mocking, in as much as they were laughing, they could not deny the witness that he was in that organization. So this is just the theme that we will keep on seeing in the book of Acts, and so we'll be able to understand. So just to bring us to a summary of what we've been looking at in the morning, as God is leading us. Yeah, so yesterday we were able to look at the story of Acts, and in Acts chapter 5, of Ananias and Sapphira. And one of the things that we say, that it is a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. And Ananias and Sapphira premeditated what they wanted to do. They sold the money, they sold the land, they kept back part of the money. They conceived in their heart that, okay, we are going to hide some of the money. And I don't think God was, I mean, the church would not have received if they wanted to give half of the money. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, like, at the end of the day, God is after what you have decided to give. But you see, they wanted the praise of the people. They wanted to be seen like others, that like, you know, like Barnabas, who is the son of consolation, that, oh, they also sold their land. So it is something that in their hearts, they wanted them to be prided in, that they have also given, they have also sold their land. So they conspired among themselves. They decided, the husband and the wife. And I know at times I feel like maybe Sapphira did not have an option because she was a wife, but she had an opportunity also herself to say the truth. And one of the things that we saw that there is that these were believers. These were people who were in the church. These were people who I believe were baptized, because there in that time you would receive Jesus, you be baptized, be part of the congregation, you'll be believing. But similarly also to, you know, to Simon the sorcerer, the Bible says also he believed, but his heart was filled with wickedness and jealousy and anger, you know. And so Peter told him that may you perish with your may you perish, you and everything that you have perish, because I can see that you're still full of wickedness, you're still full of bitterness and rage, and also a slave to sin, a slave to iniquity. So, and for Ananias and Sapphira, they were told, why have you allowed Satan to, you know, to fill your heart, and to, you know, to enter your heart, and make you, you know, commit this sin? And because they were lying to the Spirit of God. They were lying to God. And remember, Peter was saying, why did you choose to lie to God? Why have you chosen to lie to the Spirit of the Lord? you are not lying to man, but you are lying to God. And immediately they were judged. And what we said is that that is an aspect of where someone has resisted the Holy Spirit, someone has blasphemed the Holy Spirit. And this is not an unbeliever. This is someone who has been in the truth. This is someone who knows the truth. This is someone who has tasted of the good word of the Lord, who has seen the miracles, who has every reason to know the power of God. But when they choose to turn against that which God has proved in their lives, then they were judged. And that is where we call this a sin that leads to death, because now you have known the truth, you have lived in the truth, you have been filled with the Spirit of God, you have seen the miracles, you have seen God move in your lives, but then you still decide to allow Satan to fill your heart, and you premeditate and you go ahead. And that was the warning that we had yesterday. So anyway, as we read from chapter verse 12, it says, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders worked among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join to himself." But no one else dared to join them, even though all the people magnified them. Verse 14. "And the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women." Verse 15. "Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them." Verse 16. "There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one of them." Verse 17. "Then the high priest rose up, and all that they were with him, which is a sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation." And the Bible says, "And they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in common prison. But the angel of the Lord at night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, Go and stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." And I want to stop there for today. I mean the reading, and we'll continue by the grace of God tomorrow. And I just want us to reflect on what was happening. Remember the first time they were arrested, then they prayed, they were threatened, they were beaten. But Peter and John, after they healed the crippled man, they were arrested. But then they prayed to God as a church. They prayed to God, "God, give us boldness. Give us boldness. That can we preach the word of God boldness? And then secondly, work miracles and signs among us mightily." So the believers actually prayed for God to release the power of miracles and signs in their lives and in their ministry as a witness, as they prayed to people in the name of Jesus Christ, that they shall actually be filled, they shall know that God is alive, and they shall have the manifestation that God is alive. Remember, because signs are really for unbelievers, because it's unbelievers who need the signs to believe in Christ. But for us who know Christ, we know without a shadow of a doubt that he is alive. And so as we see, what happens is that the apostles, now God started moving mightily in their lives, and you can see the kind of miracles that are taking place. The Bible says that so many miraculous signs and wonders were done among the people, and as they met regularly. So they continued to meet, they continued to pray together, they continued to have to be taught the word of God, and God continued to add more and more people to them. Crowds of both, multitudes of both men and women. So what is key is that the disciples continued to be witnesses of the gospel. They continued preaching, they continued teaching the word of God, and as they preached the word of God, great fear became upon the people. Why? Because they heard that, oh, these guys are not joking. So if you really want to join them, you must be serious. And that is how Christianity is. Because at times some people just see that, it's just, you'll come when you want, you'll do whatever you want. But you see, in this time, the Holy Spirit wanted to witness to them that this is a matter of life and death. This is a matter of you knowing that you're coming to deal with God, and in the same way that God was his righteous in his judgment, in the same way that God can judge on the spot, as he did in the Old Testament, he was also able to do it. Yes, we are in the time of grace, but grace is not a license to sin. Grace is not a license to immorality, but actually grace is a divine empowerment to overcome sin. So when you say you have grace, it says that you have the power to overcome sin, you have the power to pray, you have the power to fast, you have the power to do everything that God expects us to do, because grace, the season of grace, demands more. It demands more than the law. So you can see that the people feared them, but they had high respect for them. They had high regard for them. And the Bible says God brought added to them. You can see what God does. Whenever whenever we honor him, whenever we are constantly teaching the word of God, whenever we are praying, whenever we are meeting the needs of the people, it is the Lord that adds to the people. And that's one thing I believe, that no one comes to the Lord, and this is what the scripture says, no one comes to the Lord except the Lord draws him. Except the Lord draws them, no one comes to the truth. And it is God that adds to the congregation. And you see, the Bible says the believers were the more added to the Lord. And look at how the miracles and signs were happening, that they say that it was so great that they started to bring people to the streets, and they just laid them on the couches and the beds, that at least Peter's shadow might pass over them. And if we see verse 16, it says, and all those who were brought sick, all those with evil spirits, all those who were demon possessed, the Bible says they were all healed. They were healed, every one of them. Now, think of that, that God can invest his presence. God has invested his shadow, not even his shadow, God has invested his presence, his power so mightily in Peter that even his shadow was healing the sick. Remember what Jesus said, in my name you shall do great and mighty things. You shall even do greater things that I have done. And you can see that the disciples were bearing witness that they were doing even greater things that they have. But one of the things that strikes me is this. It's not really that this man of God, that it was so much about him, but it was so much about how much the Holy Spirit wanted to be revealed and to bear witness that Christ is alive. Remember, says the Holy Spirit comes and you'll bear witness. He will take from what is mine and bring it to you. So at times we think it is us who even want to show, but actually it is the Holy Spirit himself that desires even the more to show witness, to bear witness of Christ, to bear witness of Jesus, that he is alive. And he will realize that every time even God works miracles, many times even the man of God at times is not aware, because it is the Spirit himself that bears witness. He bears witness, he comes to testify. And you see, Peter's shadow healed. I believe even today, and I don't think in that time shadows had healed before, God is able to do something new with us even today in our lives. Even today, there is something that God can do in your life that has never been done before. Why? Because God is a God of distinction. He gave Peter a unique anointing. Your anointing could be in music. Your anointing could be in teaching. Your anointing could be in business. Your anointing could be in the workplace. But God can make you unique. God can give you a uniqueness. That Peter's uniqueness was that he was given the gift of healing, that even his shadow. Yes, people heal in various ways. But Peter, God gave him that distinction, that even his shadow will heal. And for me, what I see in that is that Peter was so much flooded with God. He was filled with the fullness of God that it was no longer even him. You see, when Paul says, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. We must, by faith, we must know that, we must always be sensitive that God has filled us, that God has filled us, that the same spirit that was on Christ, that was on Jesus, the same spirit that was in the apostles, the same spirit that Peter was in Peter, is the same spirit that is alive in us, in you and me today. We have not been given a lesser Holy Spirit. We've not been given half Holy Spirit, but we have been filled with the same Spirit of God. And that same Spirit of God is the one that is alive in us and is the one that gives us life. And you can see the same Spirit of God went and rescued the apostles from the prison. They were put in prison. Then it opens the prison, gets them out and tells them, go and preach these words of life. Go and preach these words of life. This is all God is telling us today. We are called to be witnesses. We are called to go and testify of the words of life. And I mean, why should God take them out of prison? Just because he wants the witness to go and say, testify the words of life. Remember how Jesus was speaking? He told them, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and life. That means that everything that we say as a believer, everything that we communicate to people, we must be conscious that God in us is also speaking through us. So when you meet someone who is discouraged and when you're encouraging them, always have the consciousness that you carry the words of life. You are an encourager. You are the one that brings life to your office. You're the one that brings a change to your family. You're the one that is going to make a difference in your nation, in your community. By your presence there, they are blessed. Why? Because you carry the very presence of God. You carry God in himself through the Holy Spirit. And by that, you are a bearer. You are a witness of the life of God. And he says, go and testify and tell them these words of life. And it's the same word that you remember that Peter said when Jesus asked the disciples, but when everyone deserted him, and yes, are you not leaving us also? Jesus asked them, will you not also leave? And then Peter said, where will we go? Because you carry the words of life. Anytime we come to the presence of God, anytime we're reading the word of God, anytime we're listening to him, anytime we come for prayer, anytime we come to church, anytime we come for morning glory, what we receive from God are the words of life. Life, life. Remember, Christ is a life-giving spirit. He is a life-giving spirit. You could be down, you could have messed up, you could have been discouraged, but anytime you come under the teaching, anytime you come to listen to the word of God, the word of God cleanses us. The word of God restores us to life. When we are discouraged, the word of God brings back that life and reactivates that presence, reactivates that awareness. And we have the witness within us that we are not just sharing empty words. We are not just, doing whatever that we want, but we are receiving the very words of life. And I will stop there today, and I will call us to reflect on what God has been sharing. And just remember, by the grace of God, you are a witness. And God has called us to witness, and we are called to speak, to release the words of life, and the signs and miracles will come. Our job is to be our witness, to do our part to witness. God himself is more eager to witness to the hearts of people. And that's why, even if you think of what Paul was saying, that it was not my preaching that made the difference, but this Holy Spirit works in them, in the hearts of the Gentiles, the most holy emotions, turning them to believe in the faith. So our job is to proclaim the words of life. And then it's God who works in the hearts of men and works out the most holy emotions, and they're able to be converted. So you're welcome, my brother and my sisters, you're welcome to reflect on the word of God. Yeah.
Thank you, Dr. Manu. Thank you for sharing that. And I think it'll be quite clear as you're preaching and as we read through also realized that perhaps this particular verse was also speaking to the standard of the time and the standard of God. Because you see that clearly the apostles were using the word of God, and God was proving that his word is true to attract followers in the church. Unlike these days, because when you look at the Christian of today, most of us could be attracted to some of these churches because of the men of God, how they speak, maybe how the facilities look like, how the congregations look like, you know, it is a Catholic congregation, it's an English-speaking congregation. It brings a question to mind that, is this really the standard that God was looking for to attract followers in his church? And I think from this story of the apostles, you see that nothing is spoken of, even where they were preaching from. It is only the word that attracted all these people. And I think it's a great reflection for us Christians that we need to focus on preaching the word. That alone has the power to attract as many Christians as possible into the communion of God. The other thing also, because I looked at the pages ahead.
Yes, yes, go ahead.
Look at that. I realized that as Christians, we have always thought that following the commandment of God comes with only peace and happiness. I realized that the apostles really suffered. You know, that even as they followed, because I was looking at that tree, I think it is chapter verse 40, when the Pope came before the High Council.
Yeah.
Of course, there was one voice of reason that was then saying, let them continue doing what they are doing. If it is not by God, it will cease. But if it's by God, you will be finding yourself fighting.
Fighting against God, yeah.
Of course, that an angel of God speaking through that voice of reason. It gave that advice. And the other High Council members followed. But again, it also led to flogging.
Suffering for Christ.
Still led to flogging. So, I think as Christians, we need to be ready of this. That following the commandments of God, following the purpose of God, for which brought us in this earth, does not come with only peace and happiness. Because the reaction of people will be different.
Yes.
But everyone will react similarly or happily when you talk about God. So we need. However, the advantage is that suffering is made easier because, again, it's presented in a different perspective.
Yeah.
I think the Bible keeps on saying that we should embrace that because it's a big blessing from God.
Amen.
Thank you. So yes, thank you for that. I think it's good and it's encouraging.
Amen. Powerful reflections. Thank you for that. Now I'm glad that we're really growing and we're seeing really that, and as we speak the words of life, what comes to me is what Jesus says. I mean, when he was teaching about the parable of the sower, when persecution comes because of the word, so the word also brings persecution. Yeah, so. It's a reality. We cannot run away from it, but it is also a point to witness that we can suffer too for the gospel. Yeah, so any other reflections, Mary and Terhember? Welcome, feel free. You're among your brothers and sisters, yeah. Okay then, if there are no reflections, we'll pray and we trust God that God will keep and sustain us. Okay, now I got you. Okay, thank you. Okay, let's pray then. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks. We praise you. We worship your holy name. We do not take it for granted that you've given us a chance to hear from your word, to receive the very words of life. And I thank you that indeed the words of life bring life. And I pray for anyone that feels dead in this morning, feels dead wherever they're listening to this message, that Lord, your communication of life brings them life, oh God, even as they put their faith in Christ for the saving of their souls, oh God, that Lord, you died for their sins and you raised them up for your glory. I pray that Lord, your hand shall touch them, your hand shall bring life, and indeed every dead situation in their lives shall come forth alive, oh God. Every dead organ, every dead sickness that brings to death, oh God, indeed when your words come, life comes. And Father, I thank you that healing, great and mighty miracles and healings were done by the life of Peter, that even his shadow was able to heal, Father, oh God. And indeed we know that even our words, even the words that we speak, are able to send forth healing. And even this morning, oh God, we send forth your word of life, you send forth your word of healing for whatever situation that is being faced out there, oh God, whatever sickness, that indeed a miracle shall come, a witness shall come, an evidence shall come that Lord, you are the healer. And Father, I pray that you send forth your word to be with us, to be with our families, to be with our children, to be with us in the workplace, oh God, to be with us in those that who will be in various services in the church, oh God, today, oh God, that your presence shall go ahead of us. Give us your encouragement, give us your strength, empower us, walk with us, direct us, and guide us in everything that we do. We give you glory, honor, and adoration. May your name be praised and be exalted. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. So,